in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 179 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my husky-voiced pal, Sean Orford. How are you?
Hello, it's good to be here today.
Yeah, you're struggling today.
I'm okay, yeah.
Go on, tell us what's wrong. Tell Uncle Ed.
You know, I've just been sat in rooms for the last few weeks seeing clients with people coughing and sputtering at me, and I've managed to avoid it, but it finally got me. So for the first time in living history, I've actually taken time out of clinics in the NHS because I was... Someone actually said to me, I look like boiled poo.
That's kind of them.
Yes.
Okay, is it contagious?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a snog later on, so you're going to get it.
My immune system is almost impenetrable.
I reckon I should be non-infectious now. I reckon.
I feel duty-bound at the start of this episode to kind of have a bit of a timestamp for it, but this morning we all awoke to the wonderful news that... it's going to be President Trump from now on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gee whiz. It's going to take a bit of getting used to.
The world's changing, isn't it? The world's changing.
We need help, Sean.
People keep telling me how scared they are. And my message to them is that everything passes. That throughout history there have been cataclysmic events, there have been difficult events. You know, when Hitler came to power...
Remember that better than I do.
I was there. No. But it's past. It's gone. Yeah. Yep. And yes, it's terrible. And yes, it's difficult. And it's the nature of being a human being and the human condition that between us, because we haven't yet, the penny hasn't dropped yet that we could actually look after each other and be okay. We keep going into these conflict situations. Now, I don't know whether Trump is all mouth and no trousers. And
I've got a feeling he is. I don't think he's no Hitler, man. He's got no kind of ideology or...
No.
Beyond
it's
the art of the deal, which I don't think he's even that great at. Anyway, I don't know. It just feels like they missed a trick with Bernie Sanders. He would have wiped the floor with Trump, but...
I think that we're in a position where the world is changing. The power base that was European empires is gone. Mm. And that power base is moving. And what I wonder is whether what we're seeing is like the twitching of a dead corpse, you know, as Europe and the West has to accept the fact that it's peaked.
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot, actually. Yeah, it's this kind of crazy, like, chase for infinite economic growth. I think we've peaked economic-wise in the West, and I think we need to... Which will relate to the show
very much to what we're doing today.
Settling with what we've got and just kind of taking it back a notch, not flipping working your backside off every single day just to kind of make ends meet. Because what are we talking about today, Sean?
It's Hygge.
Hygge. H-Y-G-G-E.
Yeah, Hygge.
Which is like the ancient Danish art. Is it that ancient?
Yeah. I think it actually goes back to the Vikings, actually.
It's the art of...
But it's Scandinavian. It's not just Danish, although Denmark is always comes out on statistics as being the happiest place on the planet.
Yeah.
It does have a suicide rate. You know, not everyone's that happy, but it is a different way of living and a different kind of attitude.
Mm.
They seem
to have it kind of nailed on in certain aspects over there, healthcare, kind of taxation-wise. People seem pretty cool. I'm sure there are issues, which...
Yeah.
But... We're going to talk about Hygge.
Hygge.
Hygge. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it spelled two ways in transliteration. It's either H-O-O-G-A or H-O-U-G-A. So it's either Hygge or Hygge, depending on how you would...
All right, now I'm looking forward to this one. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for all previous episodes. There's a few links... that I'm going to talk about, which you can investigate further if you go to the website. Sign up, put your email address in the box, and we'll send you weekly alerts. Plus, you get free meditation files as well, don't you, Sean?
Yep. And there will be more in the new year.
Yeah, we had a summit meeting last week, actually, and there's more coming, lots more coming, we promise, this time.
Yep.
And I want to give another mention to our sponsor, 123 Friday. If you're looking for a really great way to help out the show... and get something cool in return, go to our website, livingthepresent.co.uk, and look for the 123 Friday logo. Check it out. Basically, it's a backup app for your phone. So you install the app, you pay £10 for the year, not much at all, and it backs up all your photos, videos, and contacts, all those precious memories.
But the important thing is that it's cross-platform. That's the bit that's important.
Yes, that's very well remembered, Sean. You're getting quite good at this. Yeah, so if you want to ditch your Apple iPhone and switch to a Samsung, you just install the...
Well, it works both ways, though, because I have my Sony VAIO laptop, not laptop, desktop,
yeah,
that I use at one end of my studio, and so that I can share information between the two.
Very nice. Yeah, that's cool. It's a solid app, so check it out and help the show out if you can, because we would be really appreciative. Right, if you do go to the website, you'll see a blog post which talks about hygge. Got it right, didn't I?
Yep, that was very good then.
And we're going to talk about it now. What prompted you to discuss this one, Sean? Where has this been?
Well, it's something that I've been aware of a bit, but there's a lovely guy I know called Andrew, and he brought me a copy of hygge, which I'm going to put up as my resource, which is a really lovely book. And I was looking at it, and Ree came in and said, oh, I was just thinking of getting that book. I've just been reading about it. And she said, because it describes the way that we live. Mm-hmm. And the more I read it, the more I get it, you know. And I hadn't been aware, I knew it as a word, and I hadn't been aware of it in depth,
yeah,
as I have been.
I'd seen it somewhere as well. I don't know if it was some magazine or I think it might have been when I was scrolling through the Guardian or Telegraph website.
It's one of those things that, they call it a bit like the Danish way of living. Because Denmark is seen as the happiest country in the world.
Yep. I thought it was Burma.
No, I think we come up with...
Okay. No, I've yet to meet an unhappy Dane. That's for
unless,
sure.
Unless you're a pig. And Danish bacon, that's a good... the idea of being able to live in a way that works with us rather than against us.
Yeah, this seems like it's got some strong links with kind of mindfulness as well.
Yeah, it's very much.
Basically.
Connects with a lot of systems, actually.
Should we go through... I'm going to stick a link to a video on YouTube, which gives a little 3-4 minute introduction, which is pretty cool. But should we go through the points one by one?
I think we need to start off with having a look at your week, because you're sat here looking like you're a wounded soldier.
Oh, flipping heck, so. I forgot to mention. Maybe I am working too hard and chasing those pennies, because I was frantically kind of leaving the office yesterday to get to school for my lad's first parents' evening. Big moment.
Yeah.
And a bit wet, and I was borrowing my dad's bike because I just wanted to see what that was like. And I got my front wheel lodged in a tram line by the office. Wheel went sideways, I went the other way. And landed knee first, then hands first. Couldn't have been worse, I guess, really. There's no cars around. But yeah, oh man, I'm hobbling a bit this morning.
You're still alive.
I'm still alive, yeah. It's probably the first time I've crashed my bike or fallen off my bike in about 20 years. So hopefully it's not the first of many.
I have a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ree and I would always say, we always buy raffle tickets and things. We never kind of win anything, and it's quite rare that happens.
Yep.
And a couple of weeks ago, Ree won a hamper.
Not a hamster.
Yeah, no. When I was coming out, I said to Ree, oh, and we've got two hamsters. And she said, what? And I said, no, hampers. But at the local Tesco's, they had a charity thing up, and I just bought a strip for a local charity. And then I got a call saying, could you come in with your ticket? So I came in and got this massive hamster. So in the last sort of 3 weeks, we've won two
hampers.
Christmas hampers. How weird is that? Amazing.
Decent, like, exec level.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hampers.
Guinea pigs, yeah.
Well, get yourself a lottery ticket as well,
Mate, well, I think if we're on a streak, we've got to do the...
Yeah, best out of three. Good news, cool. All right, well, let's weave somehow a clever way of hygge. into those two stories. I do notice that on the list is exercise, which is kind of, so I guess I'm doing something right. But yeah, you've gone through point by point in your blog post about how this way of life can help you, and basically you've got to get into it because it's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a really good talk which we need to put a link up to, which is the Action for Happiness lot, and it's a lady doing a talk, and she wrote a book called Living Danishly.
Okay.
And it's a really interesting talk, and the kind of comments that I'm making here came a lot from what she was talking about. There are a few books around at the moment on hygge.
Right.
And it's weird because it's spelled H-Y-Y-G-E.
H-Y-G-G-E.
All right, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced hygge.
Okay, I found that talk, Living Danishly, Inspiring Ideas from the World's Happiest Country.
Yeah, and that is a really good talk.
I'm going to stick that in my watch later.
Worth listening to, yeah.
Cool, nice one.
Yeah. The two things that struck me, especially the way that she was presenting it.
Sorry, I just clicked play with that name.
And you're watching her now.
I'm watching her.
Yeah.
Be proud.
When she was talking through, she mentions Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, I've heard that.
It's a sort of a pyramid shape thing where he's explaining that if the basic needs of people are met, then they can go on to the next stage and become creative and self-actualizing. It's the needs that we have as people.
Okay.
Very similar to what we would describe as the chakra system.
Yep.
In the Ayurvedic or the yogic philosophy worlds. And those describe each level of the personality and each bit that needs to be looked after. So it seems to be embedded in many, many philosophies going back thousands of years. I mean, Ayurveda is a root of like 5,000 years, and we're talking same kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basic stuff, really, but just rebranded a little bit.
Yeah, and one thing that I suspect is that, like lots of things, that we'll have this wave of hygge. Mm. And there'll be lots of books on hygge.
This time of year as well, I'm sure when I saw it and originally advertised or talked about, it was like a picture of a cosy log fire and someone in like bed socks and that kind of thing. So it's about being cosy and
comfortable. But one of the things you have to remember is in Scandinavia, you get the...
It's cold.
Yeah, but you get the lack of sunlight. So yeah. we're down to, in the depth of the winter, like an hour's day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that also means in the depth of the summer, we're into an hour's night. Mm. So it's very different. If you're living on the equator, where it's like a standard 12 hours, you know, it changes quite dramatically. So like the idea of developing in those dark hours, people needed to come together. They need to come together to support each other. They needed to have enough food.
Yep.
And the sharing of things, that's quite important. And sharing the warmth, you know. But also you get a massive... tradition of storytelling that comes from the Nordic countries, and all that is about people sat round fires,
yeah,
you know, pre-television, pre-radio, entertaining,
mm-hmm,
having the Nordic sagas.
No, Netflix.
Yeah. How did they live?
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, no, the nights are drawing in here where we are, and it's getting a bit chilly, or it is chilly. So what's point one on this, on your blog post? I believe it...
Well, if we're looking
at security,
hygge can be a noun, it can be a verb. It's like we can be hygge, we can live hygge, we can do hygge. People can say, hey, let's go hygge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are we hyggering right now?
Yeah. Well, we're always hygge. Yeah. And if you start to think of hygge as the idea of non-overwhelming, non-worrying, non-stressing being, which is what we're talking about. It's a way of coming together, either as within yourself,
mm-hmm,
so you have an internal hygge, but you have a family hygge and a community hygge, and it's like living together in a sense of calm and safety.
Yep.
So that one of the examples would be that it's okay to leave your child in a pram out the front of your house in the fresh air and go and do your washing, mm-hmm, because you know that your child will be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Hygge.
So it's about having your security just kind of instinctively built in rather than watching your back all the time, yeah. Worrying about.
When I first lived in Wales, when I had the farm in the 80s, down in the village below, no one locked their doors. They thought I was bonkers because I'd live halfway up a mountain, which you had to get through several gates and things to get to the farm, and I'd instinctively locked the car.
Mm.
And people say, what do you do that for? The people would leave the doors open when they went to work, so that Bobby the baker, who was a lovely guy, would put the bread in the bread bin. The milkman would put the milk in the fridge. The guy that delivered the fish would put the fish in the fridge. No one in the house.
Yep.
They just and they'd leave the money on the table. He'd take the money and go. And it was very much that kind of world. But they lived in a community. I can remember one day there was an odd person that appeared in a van and tried to mess with one of the kids outside the school. And within 20 minutes, the whole of the community had turned out.
Wow.
And they got the guy.
Really?
But it was like there was that. It was like a community response.
Mm.
And like jungle drums, everybody knew, everybody was on it, got him.
Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And from that point of view, it was a very safe, caring community. They looked after each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, that's Hygge. You know, to be able to walk down the street late at night as a woman, feeling completely and utterly safe, that's Hygge.
Yeah.
Yeah, to know that the people around you are going to be watching your back, that's Hygge. And if I think about the street that I live in, we've got a lot of curtain twitchers in our street. You know, that when people come up, you know, people are aware of what's going on. But that's Hygge.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking after it. It's the natural community watch. They're there.
Yeah, a little wave.
They're doing
in the morning
it.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about your community here. I mean, you live in a lovely place here. You've got the woods on one side, but where all your houses are, there's this green in the middle, no cars, and people interact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, initially when we were looking at the house, we kind of didn't really want to have a look around it. We'd looked at many more before this because the car, there's no driveway. The car's like 50 yards away.
Yep.
At the end of the road. And thought, oh, what a pain in the backside that's going to be.
Yeah.
With kids on the way and all that. As it turns out, it's like it's a model for how housing should be built, I think, because we've been forced to get to know all our neighbours, and we see them every day when you come out the house, and turns out they're all lovely. What do you know? You know, in the summer months, the kids all play in the front. Bonfire night the other night, I heard something going on in the front, so I opened the door, and there was some fireworks going off, and the neighbour over the way was having some drinks, so we met out in the front and had a little chin wag. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we leave, you know, the side gate's always open. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that goes on to the next bit of Hygge, which would be society, you know, the community, friendship, people together. And one of the things that always struck me was that Maggie Thatcher turned around and said, community doesn't exist, it's just individuals.
Society, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never looked into that much, but yeah, it just struck me as quite a strange...
But the thing is, that's anti-Hygge. Hygge is society, community, friendship, belonging.
Yep.
Yeah. And that idea that we should be a part of something and feel comfortable as being a part of something and be open to that. I mean, the whole idea in Hygge of socialising, like you were saying, like the guy across the road says, hey, come on over.
Yep.
Yeah. Is very important in terms of the bonding. Chemically, I mean, it's oxytocin in your brain. It's the coming together of people.
You feel good, doesn't it? Yeah.
One of the things that made me laugh when I was researching it was that the average table, the dining table in a Danish house, holds 8 to 10 people. Mm. And that's seen as, well, that's before you pull the extensions out, because they expect people to come and sit down and eat and share.
Yep.
And there is that sharing community that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. When a lot of houses now, the way that people, when they buy them, like your standard kind of two up, two down, whatever, a lot of houses now won't have a dining room table.
No.
It's kind of, you've got the kitchen back maybe, and you've got this living, dining, potential space, but it's just taken over with a load of sofas and everything. They're all pointed at the telly.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And actually, this is the first time we've recorded in this new extension.
We've had extension. And there's no TV, nothing.
Well, yeah, but look on the wall.
What have we got?
Behind this painting.
All right. Oh, so, is that a socket ready for the TV?
Yeah, so when we had it built, the plan was to have a telly on the wall at the end.
And but you haven't done it.
There's a big board behind the...
Yeah.
So you can drill the telly in and all that. So it's all ready to go. But, I mean, we ran out of money, so I couldn't get one anyway. And
maybe that's a good thing, then.
No, we've decided we're not going to have one, I don't think.
Yeah.
Certainly not for a few years until the lads are older and they just want to commandeer the telly all the time.
Yeah.
But it's much nicer and quieter this place now.
Yeah. And again, that's Hygge. It's that feeling of being in a like a warm, safe place where you can relax and be yourself.
Mm.
You know?
I like this Hygge. All right. And that's, being around your family a lot, which...
Yeah, friends, community, society, coming together and being able to share openly.
Treating the world and your neighbours and everyone around you as family, I guess, ultimately, isn't it? Because we are
connected. You remember you talking to me about, you said it on a podcast, about you taking William to school on the bike and the old lady, and then you go in and you sort out her television controller. That's Hygge. That's Hygge, you know.
They're the things you remember in life, aren't they? I was chatting with my lollipop man on the way in school today, but I found out he's a blooming Trump fan. He was buzzing that Trump had won. So, oh, my word. Yeah. It's quite divided societies at the moment, aren't we? It's quite... But we've got a lot more in common than things that we don't. I mean, I've been chatting with my lollipop man for weeks and weeks. He's a top guy. So I'm not going to write him off just because of this.
Yeah.
I might just have a little... Try and argue with him a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a certain aesthetic harmony in Hygge as well, which is...
The whole kind of design world and Danish design. It's interesting for me because a chair is a platform that keeps your bum off the floor. Yeah. Now, that chair can either be really ornate, as in the French flowery sort of Rococo design type. You know, there's all kinds of different ways of looking at a chair. I can remember seeing a chair when I was a teenager, and it was a piece of plastic that was kind of folded in an odd way. And it just looks like just a piece of plastic on four legs. But when you sat in it, it was like, wow. Because ergonomically, it was right.
Mm.
And that is a very Hygge concept, that you have something which is minimalist, but it actually works. And it works really well, as opposed to looking really posh and amazing and flash, but it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And very often, those Danish designs are very... Very simple.
Yeah, well, if you think of the Scandinavian way as well, we've got a certain company called IKEA who, to be fair, they do amazing stuff, really, in the way it's all flat-packed and comes together.
Yep.
I mean, I think most of the IKEA stuff, look, even the certainly the catalogues anyway, the cheaper stuff, well, it is quite budget, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it looks great, you know?
But that's Hygge.
Yeah.
There was a company called Ilva that was here for a while. There was like a bit of a posh IKEA. They were around for a few years and then disappeared. But they were good. They had a lot of
Hygge. A lot of Hygge. And that, I mean, the whole furniture thing and the kind of aesthetic side of things blends into the next one on the list, which is about having fewer choices and kind of not too much clutter in your life, I'm guessing, whether it's decisions or actual objects.
One of the philosophers of Hygge is that choice equals stress. You know, you start to live in a way which isn't a part of the community that you're in. So one of the examples would be... in any supermarket over here, you go in and you've got 50 loaves of bread you could choose from. If you go into a Danish supermarket, there may only be 8 or 10.
Yep.
Yeah, because there isn't that need. Well, one of the things that interests me also about Hygge is that over here you can get strawberries every day of the year. The fact that in the winter around Christmas they taste like stale cider from wherever they come from. But you can get food that wouldn't naturally be here any day of the year, and that's not Hygge.
No.
Yeah, you're not living where you are.
You're not using the environment to the best of its ability. Yeah.
But then also, if you have the expectation that you're going to have strawberries every day of the year and then you don't get them, you know, that creates a stress.
Yep.
Yeah. If you go into a cheese aisle... And there are 100 different varieties of cheese. Having to make a choice between all those cheeses, we can say, is very liberating. But it could also be quite stressful. And what happens if everybody in the family likes a slightly different cheese? So do we now have four cheeses? Yeah. Whereas Hygge would say, no, make it simple.
Yeah, give yourself strong, medium.
Yeah, mild. And take it easy on yourself.
That'll do it. Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, quite enjoyed that aspect of online shopping that we do now. We get our stuff delivered from our supermarket, and I prefer doing it on the app. Is it still going? Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Yeah, no, we've had some IT issues of late.
Yeah.
Because there's like you're not bewildered by this choice when in some ways I miss going to the supermarket with my wife, which we used to do before kids, and it'd be a nice little kind of relaxing thing. But it's way better doing it online because you're not bombarded with choice. You just type in the search, you know, wholemeal bread. There it is. Chuck it in. Mm. I'm not kind of having to sit for 10 minutes and think about what kind of bread I want.
So one of the Hygge concepts would be you buy something which is of good quality and good design and it lasts. So traditionally a Scandinavian car would be engineered to last for about 500,000 miles on the engine.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, that means that you buy a Volvo or something like that, and then it's going to last you for many, many years.
We bought our Volvo, and it'd already done like 90,000 miles. But
yeah, which is nothing on that kind of engine. You haven't run it in yet. Yeah. Whereas I know from the engineers that I used to work with in different projects in the past that a lot of lower market cars, some of the Yankee cars and stuff that are over here, I know are only engineered to last about 80,000 miles. And if you get through to 100, you're doing well on them, and then they start falling apart. Whereas something like a Volvo is intended to last you a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, and that actually reduces the issue of choice. If you are happy with the vehicle that you have and it works okay and it's a good vehicle and it lasts you for 10 years or 15 years, that's different to every 3 years you've got to go through the stress of getting a new car, doing the finance and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So Hygge is about this kind of simplicity of living. Mm. And yet we're so good at making life complicated. It's a bit like if you think about Apple is driving for the have you got the new one? Have you got the latest? Have you got the latest upgrade? It's all this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we've got the iPhone 7, and we're now talking about the iPhone 8, and what's going to be on it, and what, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're creating this kind of stress and anxiety.
Yeah,
about
future. That's right. My eldest is Christmas is coming, so he's starting to get super excited about Christmas lists and all that. And I don't want to, you know, deny him the joy that I had as a kid, but at the same time, I don't want him to kind of grow up just like expecting and wanting all these things and hundreds of different presents, because it's like they don't add any real value to your life beyond that initial whatever dopamine hit that you get from opening a present.
Yeah, I love it when you get little ones and you buy them presents and they open the presents and play with the box.
Yeah,
and not with the present, and that just says lots, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About what we're doing here.
Okay, we better crack on. We're running out of time here, but we've got one here. Have confidence in who and what you are. But I guess that comes from, in some ways, if you do manage to simplify your life and spend more time with friends and family, then that is going to kind of fall into place anyway. So this is pyramid effect in some ways.
One of the things that I love about the idea of confidence is that, and this fits very much with me, which Rhi always says, oh, for God's sake, is that it's like nudity. You know, if you're going to go and get in the hot tub, but you take your kit off and you get in the hot tub.
Well, we're both naked now.
Obviously. But interestingly, in Denmark, there's a minimal amount of things like Botox and cosmetic surgery because people accept you as you are and people accept themselves as they are. And there isn't this big drive to have to look like something. It's okay to look like you.
And grow old gracefully and kind of show off your
wrinkles. And when you've got people that are all bathing naked, sunbathing or in the water or whatever they're doing, and they're any age from kind of 7 to, you know, 80, and there's no embarrassment there. There is a confidence in self, which isn't there in this, oh, you know, it's got to hide ourselves and that kind of stuff, which is a huge difference between being in a community where people, especially women, are covered up like 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's that saying? Is that bodies are wrong, you know, and there's a kind of an embarrassment of body as opposed to a, no, it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Family value. Yeah, moving on. We got three to do. Family value, which is good for me considering that I left home at 15, and I don't really have a lot of value in my natal family, but I have a lot of value in my extended family.
Yeah.
And I have a fabulous family that I'm a part of. And the idea that blood's thicker than water doesn't really work for me because I discovered that it wasn't. But hygge is thicker than water. And there's something about... And you know that our house is like a social hub that the family use. So, I mean, there's a lot of hygge goes on in our house.
Yeah, no, we like a bit of hygge with pals. Whenever we get a free night at a weekend or whatever, yeah, we always try and invite some people, friends around. Or, yeah, we're still in the whole Sunday lunch routine with mine and Bethan's parents. So, yeah, it's all good.
Okay, next one. Yeah, the issue about respect of equality of work. You know, I like this. It's like a domestic in a hospital may only be a lowly domestic as opposed to the surgeon. But if the domestic doesn't do their job, the surgeon can't function.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a recognition of that in hygge, but also the recognition of men and women are equal. So for a man to stay at home and do what you do quite a lot and actually look after the kids and be a house man as opposed to a house woman is a really valuable thing that is given value, in the sense that when you have paternity leave, you get 52 weeks to share between you. It's a standard.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's good hygge, because you can bond with the kids.
That is switched on stuff.
Yeah, and you, like I say, you share it. Because of the way that it works out there, because there is proper support for kids before they go to school and at school and after school, yeah, there's a different way of being in that, yeah, which is good.
Brilliant.
Time to play. I love this. The shops are closed in Denmark. Lunchtime on Saturday, they don't open again until Monday. Yeah, they're closed between Christmas and New Year.
Yep.
That everyone's working day ends at 4 o'clock. Yeah, and on a Friday it ends at lunchtime. And the idea is that hygge is important. You need to spend time with your family and your community that enables you to work.
Yeah, we need to do something like that. I mean, I did see a petition going around, one of these government petitions, where people are trying to encourage the government to make it the law that shops can't open between Christmas and New Year, I think, is that was the time frame. Which initially I was thinking, well, you know, what do we need that for? Because just don't go shopping, big deal. But
what about the guys that have to run the shops?
Well, yeah, no, because I did that for a few years. You know, I was had a weekend job at my local branch of Currys. I was cashier of the year at Bromborough, Currys Bromborough, back in probably about 99, 2000. And yeah, I mean, it was good fun, and I made a lot of friends there, to be fair. Good camaraderie. But yeah, dragging myself out of bed on like Boxing Day at 7 in the morning, so I've got to go, and then there'd be a queue of people there already waiting to get a 30 quid telly, you know. Like, flipping heck, it's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. No, it's the people that work, and then the people that work in there, it's not just them, it's their families. They might have a wife and kids at home that aren't getting to see them. It's tricky because it would take a gutsy politician to enact this, because of the kind of, you wonder what the repercussions to the economy would be.
But we've locked into 7-day trading.
I know.
And it's 24 hours a day, isn't it? I mean, you can go to supermarkets at 2 in the morning.
Apparently so.
Crazy.
But yeah, man, it's beyond the economy, isn't it? I mean, before all this EU lark and kind of started to build up, and Trump, there was talk about, you know, kind of not valuing the economy as much as we do, and about gross national happiness over product. That's massively gone on off the agenda now.
But it's up to us as individuals to
bring it back. Yeah.
Last one. And it's about sharing. That there's a sense in hygge cultures where sharing's okay, because when you give, you receive. Yep. So that in Denmark, they're paying 50% in tax, right? But for that, they get an amazing health service. They get an amazing unemployment service. If you're unemployed, you get 80% of your fee, of your wage for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of stuff. education is completely free, preschool support is completely free, education is free right up to university.
Isn't it where, I'm not sure if it's Denmark or maybe Finland or something, but one of the Scandinavian countries, kids don't start school till they're like
Sweden, six or seven. Sweden.
So there's not that instant pressure, because, I mean, I had a parents' evening last night with Will, and he's doing well. And they're not pushing him or anything, he's in his first year. They're not pushing him, but he's on this conveyor belt already. You can see it's starting. It's begun, and he's being assessed here and there, and cool, he's doing well, but that's not really that important to me, because I can just tell he's doing well because he's happy little chappy and he's inquisitive. I don't know,
But the idea is that it's okay to pay taxes. They do have an attitude in Huga about if you're continually unemployed and taking money out of the system without putting in, well, you're taking the piss, and there is that in Huga. You have to be in it, and the social pressure.
It's like a safety net, really.
Yeah.
Which is what we have here, but I mean...
The social pressure that you should be contributing is a part of Huga.
Yeah, I think tax needs a bit of a rebrand, really. I mean, don't want to keep mentioning his name, but Trump was almost kind of quite proud of the fact that he hadn't paid much tax, in one of the debates that he did with Hillary Clinton. And there is that kind of thing about tax being quite a dirty word, isn't there? And people just want to pay as little as possible.
Yeah.
And we all pay accountants, to kind of... not fiddle it, but just trying to, make sure it's all filled in correctly so that we're paying as little as possible. I think tax needs rebranding a little bit because it is a worthwhile thing to do because it benefits everyone. If everyone's doing well and having their basic needs met, then, So tax needs a bit of a rebrand, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you feel that you are a part of the community, which is Huga, and you feel that the people that are running your country are looking after you as a person, that's Huga. And you contributing your taxes to make that happen is Huga.
I think for Donald Trump's first state visit, maybe he should go to Denmark and they could show him around and say, why don't you try this? And you could instantly
get a bit of Huga.
Yeah. Whack taxes up to 50%. I'm sure all his Republican pals would love that.
Last thing I want to say on this is that in Norway, according to the lady that does the Danish talk, that the Prime Minister of Norway had to take some time out with depression for a bit of treatment and then came back to work fine. And that was seen as okay, as in that sense of Huga, you look after each other.
Yep.
Can you imagine what would happen if our Prime Minister said, I need to take a month out to just go into a bit of rehab because I'm depressed here?
Oh, my word.
Can you imagine
what the Daily Mail would be doing? Absolutely. Slaughtered, wouldn't he?
And there wouldn't be compassion. There'd be criticism.
Mm.
Yeah, sort of degradation. And that's not good.
Nope.
That's not good.
Yeah, okay. Have you got a resource of the week?
And what I'm putting up is the Huga book that that Andrew got me, so I'm putting that on. There's a link for that there, but also the link to the Action for Happiness talk that's well worth going to.
Yeah, that'll be in the show notes. My resource is one I saw this week about what's the best diet, so related to food and
is it Huga?
Exercise, definitely Huga. Definitely related to Huga.
Yeah.
It's by Dr. Mike Evans? It's one of his little talks.
Right.
He did that. Yeah, so he's done loads of cool YouTube stuff and talks. Really good. Healthy Eating 101. Check it out. Happy?
I'm good.
All right. Good. Yeah, livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for all the show notes and links. Please do try or have a look at 123 Friday. It's a great way to support the show and get yourself something in return, which is quite invaluable, really. If you haven't got a backup option set up on your phone or your iPad or whatever, you really need to sort that out. We'll be back next week, won't we, Sean?
Yes, I should go and rest my throat.
Go have a lie down. No more talking.
No, I'll shut up.
All right, see you later, everyone.
Yeah, you take care. Bye.
Bye.